Nothing Forever. A Post-Apocalyptic Lightmare. 3 minutes thought would suffice to find this out, but thought is irksome, and 3 minutes is a long time. A. E. Houseman. Although my primary epiphany could be summed up as truth exists, it was actually much more complicated than that. The flip side of truth exists is this ain't it. That primary epiphany detonated in my mind like a smart bomb and left me all alone on a desert planet that had only that morning been teeming with people and problems and emotions and history and drama and a million other things that were instantly reduced to fine ash by the spiritual apocalypse that incinerated my world in a brilliant flash of light. After the blast, I found myself stumbling, dazed, and shell-shocked through a post-apocalyptic landscape undreamed of by science fiction writers. Civilizations were reduced to windless deserts. Cities I now saw as blackened craters, and people as shadows of smoke. What had been Earth, home, humanity, family, life, could now be most aptly called Nothing Forever. How did I get here? Here where? Here what? It can't be what it appears to be, though I know it is. It can't really be nothing forever, though I know it can't not be. There must be something somewhere, though I know there's not. I have to see. I have to look for myself. Where are the people? The cities? Where are the churches? Where are the statues and icons? Where are the great philosophies and belief systems? Surely they must have survived. Who am I to be here alone? Where are all the smart ones? The ones who seemed so serious, so stable, and deeply rooted and tightly wrapped, so real. Where are the ones with the strong beliefs and complex philosophies? Why aren't they here? Where are the heroes? This is a place where there should be heroic men and women. The best of the best should be here. The smartest, the bravest, the most devout, the truest. Where are they? Where are the signs that they've been here? It can't just be me. There must be others. I couldn't believe I was all alone on this desolate planet. So I went off to have a look around. I went to philosophy, what had been entire libraries of man's collective wisdom, including all that ancient Greek stuff, and all those Europeans from the last few centuries with their humongous brains and their gigantic thoughts. Where was all that now? Gone, as if it never was. Washed away like sandcastles on the beach. All that was left, where I expected to find great minds and great thoughts, was a blueprint for a bomb, like the one that had done this to my world. Cogito ergo sum. So, I wondered, where was René Descartes? I should be able to find more of him than those three words. But no. I discovered that even the guy who created such a bomb didn't know what it really was or what it could really do. He built the bomb, but he never set it off in his own life. I went to religion. Any religion, denomination, cult, or sect would do. Anything that was still standing in this flattened world would be a welcome and amazing sight. But nothing was. all the books and statues and fancy clothes and beautiful buildings were vaporized. Nowhere was one stone left on top of another. I was stunned, but not surprised. I went to the occult and the New Age, to spirituality and Eastern thought. By this time, my eyes had become well adjusted to the bright light of this new world, and I could fully absorb in a moment what it might once have taken years to see. There were others like me, I saw, but few. They were easier to make out now that all the pretenders had been vaporized. Still, I wasn't there to learn or to acquire or to master anything. I had no desire to become a student. This wasn't a scholarly or a theological pursuit. I had no need for a vehicle. I wasn't curious about teachings and philosophies and beliefs beyond the initial assessment of whether or not they survived the blast. I was just looking to see if there was anything still standing. And there wasn't much. Not nothing, but not much. As long as I was in the neighborhood, I looked in on Buddhism. But all that remained was the diamond of Zen under an ash mountain of faux Zen. I was interested to finally see it in clarity, but real Zen is just another name for the bomb, and there was nothing left to blow up. All that scorched earth wandering wasn't the end. It was just the beginning. I still had my own personal deconstruction to do, which is how I spent almost the next 2 years, until I got to a place called done. The external searching is only one part of the story. The other part is the internal part, the slow, painful sloughing away of self. Layer by layer, piece by piece. Spiritual self-debridement. Some layers of selfhood just fall away. Some tear off in long strips or flabby hunks. And some have to be meticulously, painstakingly, surgically removed. Everything I had become in decades of life, I now had to unbecome. All I really was belief. So everything I believed, I now had to unbelieve. My new world was cold and bright and honest. But my old mind was still full of a lifetime's accumulation of belief and opinion and false knowledge and emotional attachment. All the noxious debris and toxic waste that make up ego. And it all had to go. That's a process, and it takes time. The world might be annihilated in a flash, but self takes a little longer to burn away. There's no bomb for that. There's no pretty Latin phrase or Sanskrit mantra that annihilates self quickly or painlessly. There's no realization or insight or epiphany that wipes away the false self in a flash. Those who claim to have awakened in a flash are the most deluded of all. Then it was time for the mountain to become a mountain again. I spent the next 10 years trying to make sense of this new world, a non-world in which a non-I nevertheless seemed to reside, the waking dream state. It was like the world had turned from hard solidity into shimmering mirage. I could still see the world I had always known, but I could not find its substance. Whatever I reached out to touch, my hand passed through. Whatever I thought about dissolved in my mind. Whoever I looked at, I saw through like vapor, myself included. I looked at my own character, and it was like a face you see in a cloud for a second before it's gone. My reality now is the awakened, untruth, unrealized state. And it's the same for me as for anyone who comes to it. There are no masters or novices here. There are no teachings or beliefs, no Hindus or Buddhists or Advaitins, no masters or yogis or swamis, no discorporate entities or higher-level energies or superior beings. Awake is awake. Everything else is everything else. With all this in mind, it should be easy to understand why there would be very little latitude in my thinking as to the definition of spiritual enlightenment. Within the dream state, there are countless shades of gray, but between the dream state and the awakened state, there are no shades at all. The distinction is absolute. Truth exists. Untruth does not. This is enlightenment theory, the pure binary mathematics of truth. And it's very simple, as easy as 1, 2, 3, but without the 2 and the 3. It's so simple and obvious that you'd have to close your eyes and bury your head not to see it. Specifically, you would need some mechanism by which to generate an energy field around yourself, an artificial micro-environment, a one-man spacecraft with an interactive in-flight movie so engrossing that you could forget that you were floating alone in empty space and believe that you were in a world full of people and drama and meaning, which is exactly the case. The mechanism by which you accomplish this most remarkable of all feats is a well-oiled combination of emotion and intelligence. Emotion powers the energy field. Maya is the ruling intelligence. The in-flight movie is called delusion. And this ship in which you aimlessly float through nothing forever is called ego. And when the soap bubble pops, when ego is destroyed, when Maya is vanquished, what then? Everything. Who then? No one. It should now be easy to understand that a true and complete spiritual teaching can be conveyed in 3 words. While those that require entire libraries of books and legions of gray-bearded scholars to decrypt them can succeed only in producing ever more darkness and confusion. It should now be clear that there are no cases of instant enlightenment, that awakening is not the result of a single epiphany, but of a long, arduous journey, wherein every step is a long, arduous journey. It should now be obvious that all dogma, beliefs, doctrines, and philosophies are strictly dream state phenomenon, with no independent existence in truth. It should now be easy to look at any teacher or teaching, at any book, at any spiritual or religious assertion, and to instantly know its exact and certain value. It should now be easy to look at every internal thought, belief, and emotion, and know without the possibility of error what is real and what is imagined. It should now be clear that there is no room for debate or opinion with regard to what is true and what is false. The distinction is absolute. Truth exists. Untruth does not. Wise Fool Press. The Enlightenment Trilogy by Jed McKenna. Spiritual Enlightenment, the Damnedest Thing. Spiritually Incorrect Enlightenment. Spiritual Warfare. And Jed McKenna's Notebook. All bonus content from the Enlightenment Trilogy. These books are made available in print, electronic, and audio formats. They are also published in other countries and in other languages. Please visit our website for more information at www.wisefoolpress.com. Narrated by Eric Vincent. Audio production and music by Mitch Webb at Mantis Records. Thank you for listening.